B-Pod Studios.
So that ranking right now, and that drop-off, it goes Eagles is like way up there, and then there's a drop-off to the Sixers, and then there's a big drop-off from the Sixers to the Phillies, and then the Flyers are the fourth team right now on people's radar, if you will. Now, they're moving up as well. They're all moving up at the same time. The rising tide raising all boats. Flyers got a win yesterday over the Islanders, who are leading the division, or were leading the division. The Sixers on Saturday blow the game to the Warriors. Now, Andrew, do you blame Brett Brown for that loss?
No.
You don't?
No.
Bob Cooney told me today, I asked him, pointed, why did Simmons try and miss the free throw? Was it him making that decision or Brett Brown? He said Brett Brown.
It was Brett Brown. But I'm not putting that loss on one purposely missed free throw.
Okay.
Tobias Harris was missing shots left and right. J.J. Redick couldn't hit anything. Ben Simmons had a pretty good game, but he still
Redick's
had...
defense was just completely exposed.
And Simmons still had 9 turnovers. Mike Scott, that was a foul on his own. Now, I said this last night, a good coach, an elite coach, during that timeout before they score the basket and then Golden State inbounds the ball, an elite coach says, hey, this is what we're going to do to score. And if we score, do not foul.
Yeah.
Right? That's what an elite coach
does.
Was
dumb, man.
That's what a second-level coach does. Brett Brown pretty much didn't do that. At least I would think he didn't do that because Mike Scott immediately went up and fouled. I believe it was Steph Curry when they were up 3 points.
Yeah.
So that was Mike Scott's fault. But Brett Brown, maybe an elite head coach, says, hey, do not foul if we score here.
The one thing,
but it's not his fault they couldn't shoot.
Yeah, here's the deal, though. Like, I had a problem with what Van Gundy and Mark Jackson kept saying. This game is going to be a tremendous teaching tool for Brett Brown. They must have said it 10 times. These are the situations that crop up in the playoffs that this team needs. This will be a great teaching tool for this team. Shouldn't that already be taught? Shouldn't these strategic decisions already be known when you don't have a timeout?
Yeah, but these are national guys who aren't watching the Sixers like we do. They don't see how many times the Sixers have blown leads in the third quarter.
Yeah, I guess so.
They don't see how many times we've seen the Sixers blow the lead in the fourth quarter. So for them... I know the Sixers have been on national TV multiple times this year, but a lot of them have been TNT as well. So that may have been the first huge blown lead that they've seen happen, and it was to a very good team like the Warriors. So I think they were just saying that because they're not watching every night.
All right, well.
Look, those guys sound like nitwits the other night, too.
I mean, I just couldn't believe how much they were harping on it. They're just harping on it. Well, this is going to be a tremendous teaching tool for Brett Brown. And I'm going, well, look, they're playing a great team. They're playing Golden State, and we know obviously what they can do, and look, Steph Curry just blew by J.J. Redick. Just blew by him at the end of that game. And Redick's defense was exposed big time, and that's going to happen, especially when you don't have a rim protector in there with Embiid. The fact they were in the game without Embiid is impressive, but there's no moral victories.
Yeah, you had to rely on Jonah Bolden, who had a pretty nice night, mm-hmm. but you had to rely on Jonah Bolden playing against DeMarcus Cousins, and then when he was out and Mike Scott was playing the five, you saw DeMarcus Cousins just play absolute bully ball.
Yeah.
And that was without Klay Thompson, and they still came back and won. The Warriors are the Warriors. That's why they came back and won, and the Sixers couldn't make their jump shots. I blame Brett Brown a lot. I'm pretty much out on Brett Brown. We did the...
See, he gets no credit, in my estimation, for when things go well.
No, I'll give credit
gets all
when
the blame
due.
When things don't.
Like, I give Gabe Kapler credit where credit is due, but I also don't like Gabe Kapler, and I think he lost some games for the Phillies last year. If you deserve credit, I'll give it to you, but I'm getting close to saying I'm done with Brett Brown. I'm close to it. I think I gave him a 2 out of 10 last week when we talked about the numbers with our confidence and how we feel about these guys. That could change come playoff time, but we're seeing the same thing over and over again.
All right. 610-632-0975. You know, the approval rating for Brett Brown, I don't think it'll ever go up. I really don't think it'll ever go up in this town. People just have it in their head that he is not the guy. I think the fan base, for the most part, has made up their mind on Brett Brown. People make up their mind, and then it changes. Like, I had my mind made up on Doug Peterson initially. I thought no way that guy could be a great NFL coach. I was totally wrong. Totally wrong. And I'm not afraid to admit it. Brett Brown, I'm not completely 100% sure yet that he is not the guy. I'm starting to lean towards that he probably isn't the guy, but my mind is not made up on Brett Brown. A lot of people's mind is already made up. A lot of people's mind is already made up on Gabe Kapler already. I'm not ready to make up my mind on Kapler either. This is a big season for Gabe Kapler. No question. 610-632-0975. Let's check our poll real quick. Poll of the day brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation at 833-4-NATION or visit roofingnation.com. There are Phillies fans out there that don't want people to jump back on the bandwagon now that Bryce Harper is here. Should fans who completely checked out be allowed back on the bandwagon? 83% say, yep, welcome them with open arms. 17% say, no, stay off my bandwagon. 1,800 votes. And 17%, I want to hear from those people that are saying, nope, you're not allowed to jump back on now because you weren't there when things were bad.
I got two tweets from you. This is first one's from at Trust in Philly. He goes, get out. If you didn't ride with us for the past 10 years from the ups and downs, go somewhere else.
Wow.
And then somebody, a guy named Leonardo on Twitter goes, if you didn't witness Cody Ashy, John Mayberry Jr., or Dominic Brown, you have zero rights to come back as a fan.
Well, you witnessed them, but they didn't give you a reason to, like, go bananas.
Yeah,
Tom Brown had a good 6 weeks.
Well, let's face it. There are people that have checked out.
Yeah.
And I don't care. You didn't, like, I was the loser that kept on going.
Yeah.
So welcome back.
Yeah. Well, look, we are front runners and we are bandwagon fans. Let's just call it like we see it. Let's go to Provolone Joe on the Fanatic. What's up, PJ?
Yo, what's going on, boys? How you guys doing?
What's happening,
hey,
brother?
I'll tell you what, Dad. Harper's got everybody fired up. As far as being a fan or not, listen, every army needs grunts. I'll take everybody. Take them all. I'll take everybody for every sport in Philly. I don't care who you are. What's the big deal? So you're a fan now. I don't care. I'll take you. Stay a fan. That's good. I'm not one of these people who say, if you're not in, you're out. That's bold. Come on, man. Come on board. Let's ride this thing. Let's make the parade 4 million people. I don't care. It's fine with me.
I understand that sports, not just in Philly, Provolone Joe, are fans are front runners and they're bandwagon fans. It doesn't make you a bad fan.
Exactly.
It's just, and look, and some people have more of an affinity for baseball or hockey or basketball or football than other sports. So when one of the sports of lesser.
Say,
go ahead. Did we lose him? Oh, go ahead.
I'm not going to say a jump on board fan is that big a fan as a guy who rode with this team all through the losing years. Of course not. But a fan's a fan. If you're wearing my colors, I'm happy. Wear my colors. So that's what I feel about that. Hey, as far as the top 10 list, yo, Zach Ertz got to be on that list. He's got to be. And Tobias, drop him. I would even say, and I'm going to go on a limb here, I put Zach over Ben Simmons. How you like that?
Because
I think he's better. I think Zach Ertz is better at his position as far as amongst tight ends in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, that's.
Listen, I mean, he's a top three tight end in the NFL, no question about it, right?
Yes, and is Ben Simmons a top three? Is Ben Simmons a top three guard?
No.
That's my question.
No.
So I would put Zach above Ben and definitely above Tobias. I mean, you guys can play with that for a minute, but.
That's a great point. It's a great point, PJ. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. It's a great point. Zach Ertz set an NFL record this year and with 113 catches, and he's a top three in his position the last couple of years. And currently is at the moment. I mean, you can maybe say he had the best tight end year of anybody over Kelsey, over all tight ends in football. And you didn't even have him on your top 10. That's an oversight.
No, because now I'm not going to say that playing tight end's easy, but the other 10 guys that are on here, right? Joel Embiid, Bryce Harper, Carson Wentz, Ben Simmons, Aaron Nola, Fletcher Cox, Tobias Harris, Claude Giroux, JT Realmuto, Rhys Hoskins. They all do those things on their own. Zach Ertz has the ball thrown to him.
Yeah, but you can't look at it that way.
No, but so if I continue this list, I have Jimmy
Butler. Like when T.O. was here, he would have been on that list.
Yeah, you're right.
He had to have the quarterback throw it to him.
Okay, Jimmy Butler is 11th on this list. Zach Ertz is probably 12th if I keep on going. Like, he's still, I'm not taking anything away from Zach Ertz. This is not something that people need to get upset about. It's like, okay, I don't have Zach Ertz on here, but are the people, the top 10 in front of him, like, really bad players? No, they're all stars in their respective sports.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is a superstar talent, but he's not a superstar yet.
He was an all-star.
He's an all-star, yeah, but he's not a superstar
yet. In his second year, how is he not a superstar?
He's not a superstar yet. He hasn't accomplished enough to be a superstar.
How? Because he doesn't have a jump shot?
Yeah. Frankly,
oh, come on.
That's he's got superstar talent that he needs to harness, but he's not a superstar yet. Just like Giroux's not a superstar. He's a star player. Okay, not superstar. Embiid's a superstar.
Right. All right. So Ben Simmons is just below the line of superstar.
Yeah, he's a star.
He was able to make the All-Star game in the second year. Look at the names that were on those teams.
No, I get
it. You're putting Ben Simmons with them.
I get it. I totally get it. He's not a superstar yet. Ben Simmons is not a super. He's going to be a superstar, but he's not there yet. Bryce Harper is a superstar. Embiid is a superstar. Carson Wentz is a star, not a superstar yet. Aaron Nola is a star. He's not a superstar yet.
You could say.
You need more accomplishments to be a superstar.
If he keeps on doing it,
exactly.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, you can't control it.
Aaron Nola last year was a superstar.
Well, you see, you need time to get to be a superstar, too. And B did it in short order. Became a superstar. He's got the most 30-10 games this season out of anybody. Ben Simmons, not a superstar yet. Cox, superstar. Or star. I'll go star for Cox. Tobias Harris, diet star at this point. Realmuto, all-star. Rhys Hoskins, he's not quite a star yet. We need to see more. 610-632-0975. So you got some call on there about bandwagon fans. There's bandwagon fans. A lot of them. It doesn't make you a bad fan. Just embrace it. Hey, I'm a bandwagon fan. I'm more interested when they're good. I'll invest my time and money when they're good. We're front runners. It's all right. It's the Midday Show. Anthony off, Jason Martinez, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Oh, my God!
Boy, there goes the illusion that those aren't on tape. 610-632-0975. You can tweet the show at Jason Mert, at Ace Alchunas 975, at 975 Middays. Drew Rothamel, I hope I said that right, Drew, sorry, tweets in and says, Jason Mert, don't ever disrespect me or thousands of other Philly fans by saying, quote, we are bandwagon fans. Speak for yourself, dork. I was going to Sixers games when they were winning 10 games. Same with the Phillies. Now, a fan like Drew, who went to those games, is not a bandwagon fan. But for the masses, the majority are bandwagon fans, as evidenced by the fact that through the process, when they were winning 10 games, there were empty seats. As same with the Phillies. Through the last couple of years, the ballpark was empty. There wasn't a ton of fans there. The team was in first place last year, and people still weren't buying in. They didn't think it was real. So being a bandwagon, it doesn't mean you're a bad fan. People take it as such a derogatory term.
Right, because I guess before recently when people became disinterested and then just checked out, like the Sixers process was an extreme where people just didn't go because
they couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, and they weren't winning games. They were losing on purpose. But I feel like 10 years ago, maybe the term bandwagon fan was, oh, I'm not a fan of the Phillies anymore. I'm going to go be a fan of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like that's a
front runner who goes from the guy who picks Duke and then he picks,
North Carolina the next year.
Yeah, whatever the hot team is, or, the guy who is a fan of all the teams that always win.
I'm a LeBron fan, so that means I'm a Cavs fan, then a Heat fan, then a Cavs fan, and now a Lakers fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way,
here you can't do that because you have your hometown team.
Back to my point about Bryce Harper being even a bigger star than the list that you have, Jeff Passan put out a tweet regarding Fanatics.
Yeah.
LeBron, yeah, Fanatics may not have been around when LeBron went to the Heat. Fanatics was around when LeBron went to the Lakers. And the Lakers is a bigger team than the Phillies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Than the Heat.
Yeah.
And Bryce Harper still outsold in 24-hour period than LeBron to the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, by the way, LeBron looks disinterested right now.
Yes, he does. It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. It's kind of funny seeing him wither away out there. You didn't choose us. 610-632-0975. Chris in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
So I hate bandwagon fans personally, but I get it. I understand it. It's just, gives you something to do. The thing that I hate about it is I think that it gives us the sense of one is okay. Like, everyone still talks about 2008. Like, get over it. All right? It was great. I loved it. I expect more. As a true fan, I want more. I want winning every year. You know, like, just like the Patriots do. They just win, right?
Well, you see what's going on in New England, period, Chris, with all their teams.
Right, and it's awesome, and I expect that. I want that. As a diehard fan in all sports, I want it. When we have so many bandwagon fans taking over, right, it kind of just puts it in the mindset of, okay, yeah, one win's okay for me, and I'll wait 10 years, I'm good with that. And I think that's kind of like, you know, pushes over all those guys who've been dying for that one and just want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that won't be the case with the Eagles, although we were a little softer or understanding of the Eagles this year because they won the year before. But you're right. Like, I'm not satiated with just one, and I'm good for a decade.
Yeah. Like, I'm tired of talking about 2008. It was a great year. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. It brought the city together, which was awesome. But, like, hey, it's in the past. Yeah, I want to win.
And I'll be honest with you, Chris. I think that group of Phillies players through that 2007 to 2012, I'm not going to call it a failure because they won a title, but they underachieved. They should have won another one.
Absolutely. 100%. And I think the real true fans understand that, but we're outshadowed by so many bandwagon fans that are like, oh my God, it was great. I went to the bar every night, you know, partied. It was awesome. Like, no, it's not good enough. I don't want that.
Yeah. So do you have like a negative connotation of the term bandwagon fans?
Yeah, I think a bandwagon fan is like, yeah, I think it's terrible. I think it's just like someone who doesn't know anything about the team. I think if you can ask a bandwagon fan to name four Phillies right now, they couldn't.
Wow, that's an indictment on it. If you don't know four Phillies right now, then you got issues. But like 3 years ago, you know, post Rollins, Utley, and Howard, I mean, if you look back at those teams, I get why people checked out to a degree. Look, I'm not saying you checked out completely. You didn't watch at all. What I'm saying is it wasn't like appointment television for you to watch or listen to. You weren't like all in on it like you're going to be this year with the addition of Bryce Harper. All these people went out and bought a jersey. Think about this. And Andrew just brought up the numbers again. If you went out and bought a jersey, I want to hear from you. 610-632-0975. Here's why. Because I want to know the last time you went out and bought a Phillies jersey. I want to know what motivated you to go get that jersey. These jerseys flew off the shelves all over the Delaware Valley. Everybody that had them couldn't keep them on the shelves. It's a monster, monster signing by the Phillies. An introduction of Bryce Harper. I want to know the last time you went and bought a Phillies jersey in particular. Or any other jersey. Like, what motivates you to go out and buy the jersey? Like, the day it comes out, the day he's announced and those jerseys and jerseys are available. If you went out and bought one, I want to know why you went out and bought one and when was the last time you bought one. Because that's a big part of this story. They can't keep these jerseys on the shelves. Let's go to Abed in Atlanta on the Fanatic. What's up, Abed?
Good, Jason. How are you?
Did I say it right?
It's Abed, yeah.
Abed, okay. Your name deserves respect, so I'll give it to you.
Appreciate that. So check this out. I want to put this whole bandwagon thing to rest. I'm a 4-for-4 diehard in the sense that I will never root for any other team in any of those four sports over the Philly team. But keep in mind that money and, more importantly, time are extremely valuable. The onus is on the franchises to be relevant and to put a winning product on the field or the court, the pitch, ice, whatever you want to call it. So for me, I'll always follow and always root for my Philadelphia teams, but I'm not going to invest time and money in a team that I know is purposely losing, like the Sixers. Basketball is my number one sport, but I'm not going to go to a game I know that the Sixers are purposely trying to lose or spend money on jerseys of players that I know aren't going to be there the next year. So for me, the interest is always there, but time and money is earned through how the franchises do. So as the franchises go out and make the commitment and to go out and put a winning product and to put names and exciting teams and players in the city, then my time and my money is appropriated accordingly based on that. So I'm a huge Philly fan in the sense that I will never root for any other city over our city. I will live and die with our teams, but I'm not going to spend time and money unless the franchise is putting the same effort on their end. I think that's fair as a fan to not just be a sheep and have to support blindly no matter what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great way to look at it. And it's an interesting conversation because, you know, when the team from, they were just kind of pocketing money waiting for this TV deal to kick in. I'm talking about the Phillies, right? And they targeted this offseason, which is why over the last couple of weeks we've been talking about it. Because this, you had to come away with Harper or Machado, or it was going to be a failure. And they came away with Harper, who's a huge superstar on and off the field.
Absolutely. Can I say one thing about why the Harper, the jersey sales are flying off?
Yeah,
the
go ahead. Yeah.
I think it was just that the baseball free agency is so long, and it was built up for so many months. And where is he going to sign it? When the hammer finally dropped, I think everyone was just so ready for it.
And so relieved.
It was just like a volcano of just pent-up emotion, boom, triggered it. And on top of that, you know, he's the biggest name in the game. And I think Philly really loves to have a winning baseball team.
Yeah.
I think all that put together is just, it's just the perfect storm for sales.
Yeah, no question. Thanks for the call. You look at it, too, and I think this plays into it, too, that people saw his introductory press conference. They heard it. They heard it. He said all the right things. I think there would have been less jerseys sold, I'll be honest with you, if he had an opt-out after year three. But the fact that it's a 13-year investment, I think people go out and buy it because of that.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't you agree?
Because if you look at it this way, you're paying, what, $120 for a jersey? And you're paying it basically for over 13 years.
Yeah. No, that's a great investment. It's one because he has said, I want to be here for the long haul. He said it in the presser. I want to be here. There's going to be times that are tough. I want to be here through those times and fix it when those things are going on. Through seasons. Not every season of his 13 years is going to be boffo. You know, there's going to be rebuilds in there as well. But he's committed to it long term to be part of the equation. Now, there's going to be a point in his career, and they're going to put the DH in the National League, and he's going to be a DH at the back end, right? I mean, that's another part of it, why you go, okay, why is 13 years, it's going to be a problem. Now, the definition of bandwagon fan, according to the Urban Dictionary, it says it's most common in sports. A bandwagon fan is a fan of a team simply because they're either the reigning champions, they have the most championships, or doing the best at the moment. The second these bandwagon fans, if you will, notice that their team is starting to do poorly, they jump ship and hop on the bandwagon of a different team. So, to me, that's the little Urban Dictionary definition of it. But I got a tweet here, and it's a great tweet from E-Rock, and he says, bandwagon fan has a very negative connotation. I agree with him, it does. It's more casual fan is much more palatable. He says, I'm a diehard Eagles casual. I'm a diehard with the Eagles, casual with the other three. If someone called me bandwagon, I'd take offense to it because it wasn't like I was rooting against them or a different team. So maybe bandwagon's not the right term. Casual, like when I come to the Eagles, I'm not a casual fan ever.
You're diehard.
I don't care if they win 3 games, 2 years in a row. I'm still all in all the time. Every game, every minute. Absolutely. You can get casual with the Phillies when they weren't good. There's casual with the Sixers when they were going through the process. And there's casual with the Flyers, unless they're good for a lot of people. And everybody has different...
I'm always open about it. I'm a casual Flyers fan.
Mm-hmm.
I am. And once they start winning,
or they have a player that can bring you in,
yeah, then I'm going to be connected. Like, I was a little more connected this year than I have been in years past. Mm-hmm. Even though they might not make the playoffs this year, they're close. Even though they might not make the playoffs this year, I can see the growth, I can see the rise of the franchise, and that's why I'm starting to jump back on a little bit.
Yeah, because you think that something's coming, something good. You see all these young players, like 07 with the Phillies, where it's building with a young core. That was Rollins, Utley, Howard, Cole Hamels. All these kids were coming up together, and we're going to do great things. You see that with the Sixers and Embiid and Simmons. They're the young core. Now you see it with the Phillies, with Rhys Hoskins, Nola. And now you had Harper, a player in his prime, that's going to be here for 13 years. So maybe the term is casual fan. It's a great tweet by E-Rock. Bandwagon does have a negative connotation. We jump on and off. So it is a bandwagon mentality. But like Wayne tweets in and goes, I feel bandwagon has a bad taste with it. You guys can talk about teams when they're bad for what reason. I think bad play results in general disinterest across the board. And that's a great point, too.
Especially when they're doing it on purpose, like the Sixers did.
Yeah, the Sixers did it on purpose, and they did it at an extreme level for multiple years. if you hang in there and we're watching every game of watching those teams, like I have the roster here from 2014-15 of the Sixers.
Love Furkan Aldemir.
Oh my God. I'm looking at this roster before the show. If you sat there and you paid your good money and went down to these games to watch that, boy, God bless you. I mean, it is.
I did.
Michael Carter Williams, Isaiah Cannon.
It's $5 to get in.
Yeah. Drew Gordon, Jeremy Grant. Remember Muka Bakamute?
Oh, Luke. Luke Richard Mahamute.
KJ JaVale McGee.
He discovered Joel Embiid. So don't rip Luke Richard Mahamute, okay?
All right.
He discovered Embiid.
Let's go to Steve in Hoboken on the Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how's it going? I think the main reason that really inspired me just the second Fanatics released the jerseys at, I think, 3 o'clock to get it was just like I still couldn't get over the fact that he chose us. You know, I had the Negadelphia thought in my head, the predetermined, oh, he's going to go out to L.A., Magic Johnson's going to woo him there, or, you know, the Yankees are just going to go back to the Steinbrenner days and give him the most money and, you know, the Big Apple draw is going to get him. And the fact that he chose us, like, I get the money talked and we gave him a lot of years and money as well, but, like, he chose Philadelphia. So that kind of is what inspired me. And on top of, like you said, going out, watching the press conference, I kind of had a different view on him, similar to you, Jason. I just kind of thought, you know, he was a tool, for lack of a better word, for a guy. And he just seemed like a pretty genuine dude after watching that.
And, like, you wanted him, Steve, because you're like, well, he can be a tool, but he's our tool. But then you come
exactly.
We get these preconceived notions of what a guy's like based on, you know, seeing it from afar. You know, sometimes you say, you know, things look good from afar, but when you see him up close, they're far from good. Well, that's the opposite with Harper. Like, I didn't realize he was such a... he's like a family man at 26, right? And
yeah.
And those things and those values are important to him. And I had no idea. I had no clue. But it was so refreshing to see that this guy is like mature beyond his years when you talk about an athlete. And it's just nothing like I thought he was. And I agree with you. I think part of the hype and the reason people bought jerseys is because he didn't choose the Phillies to me, Steve. He chose Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I can agree with that. And the other thing that just made me totally happy about the signing is, while I love Mike Trout and everything, I was just tired of everyone hanging on the pipe dream of, oh, let's just wait another 2 years for him. You know what? If we get him, I'm going to be ecstatic because we're going to have the most fun team.
Yeah, but you're tired of waiting, Steve, right?
Yeah, I'm tired of waiting.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. But yeah, I was the same way. It was like, well, just don't even get Harper or Machado. Just wait for Mike Trout. So 2 more years of, meandering baseball and kind of going, okay, they're okay, but you're never going to buy in fully because they don't have a star player. I wasn't ready. I didn't want to wait anymore. If you want Trout, you get him in 2 years if you can get him. And by the fact that they have Bryce Harper, I think increases their chances of being able to get Trout out of L.A. and away from the Angels. Let's go to David in Baltimore's on the Fanatic. Hey, David.
Hey, what's going on, Jason? How are you?
Good, man.
Yeah, no, I've never really watched an entire press conference, but I couldn't turn it off. I was watching it while I was doing some stuff over the weekend, and I think we were just so wrong. There were so many reports that came out and about him wanting this opt out, and you know, I think even Ann said just give it to him, or maybe it was Mike that just said just give it to him, and I was also like, yeah, if he wants an opt out, give it to him. But, I mean, it couldn't have been further from the truth. I mean, it seemed like just the opposite. He didn't want the opt-out. In fact, and then the 13 years was just showing that he really wanted to be in Philly. To be honest, I had a lot of preconceived notions about him, but that was a fantastic press conference. It really was.
To me, David, it was as captivating as when AI came back to the Sixers and had that press conference. That's how captivated I was on it.
I was very, very impressed and so happy to have you. Just a side point. Doesn't it look like Harper's dad could play for the Phillies? I hope I'm in that type of shape when I'm in the
I thought to I say, I'm like,
Jack.
I'm like, dude, he's like, still good to go.
He looks like he could play. He looks like he could put a jersey. He could put a jersey on and play for us. But
yeah, he did 15 at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, exactly. So, and to the thing with the bandwagon thing, I never felt like Philly fans are bandwagon, which is why I love being Philly fans. I think what happens is, like, I'll always follow the teams, But I won't necessarily go to a lot of games, except for, like, baseball, though, because I'll go to at least three or four Phillies games this year, and I'll get to go to Washington this year when they play the Nationals. And I still go to Orioles games just because I love going to baseball games. Like, I'm not a huge Orioles fan.
Camden Yards.
I mean, I just love, honestly, I'm the type of guy that'll go to a game. I'm 32, but I'm still a purist. That's what I think I love baseball the most because it hasn't changed very much. And I'll just sit 1 through 9 innings. I won't really move. I don't get up. Like, I just love baseball. It's a sport I grew up playing, as a kid. And I kind of actually like it that it hasn't changed, to be honest. I think the other sports, I think, in a way, I've shied away from because they have changed so much. Whereas baseball is just, for me, it just brings back a lot of good memories as a kid. I just love sitting in the ballpark watching games.
God bless you. You can go there and just kind of detach, David, and enjoy the fact that it's timeless and all that stuff. Now, are you fiddling with your phone in between innings and all that?
Not really. You know, I'm. It's just, to me, like, baseball games are just a straight-up chill. Like, hockey games, basketball games, football games are a totally different animal. It's very like loud, and you're getting into it, and there's a lot of yelling and screaming. Not that there isn't at baseball games, but for me, baseball, I just put my feet up, and it's a straight up show. Like, I just love watching baseball. Wow. I love the nuances of baseball, like the pitching and seeing what the managers are going to do next. But I get why people don't like it because they look at it as boring, but I'm a purist, so I can't even tell you.
Thanks for the call, Dave. You're kind of like Andrew in the sense that, you know, and Mikey misses the same way. He doesn't want it to change because that's the beauty of the sport for a lot of people. Now, that's one of the problems because it's not bringing in the young people that don't have an attention span. That's part of the problem. But, you know, baseball is the sport where it's probably the best sport to take a date if the date is a good conversationalist. If not, you want to be at a basketball game, a football game, or a hockey game because you don't have to talk the whole time. But you can sit at a baseball game and just have a deep conversation, watch the game, enjoy it.
Walk around the stadium.
Yeah.
Miss half an inning.
Yeah. Walk around, you go get something to eat, and you build a bear in the or build a Fanatic in the outfield. I mean, that's a good
waste
thing.
Waste 80 bucks.
But you got to make sure, like there's certain places you take a date and there's certain places you don't. Like, you don't take a date to an Italian restaurant for the first meal because you can't eat spaghetti without getting sauce on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to eat something that you can pick up with your hands like a burger. You know, something easy.
You still get messy with a burger.
Well, you got to be careful. You can't overload it with the condiments. You know, but you can share some French fries and, you know, dip your French fry in her ketchup.
See, I was terrified. My first dinner at my fiance's parents' house. So they cooked this nice dinner. They made ribs.
Ooh, that's a messy one.
And when I found out what they were making when I got there, I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because knowing me, I'm a slob. Yeah, like, you guys
can't eat ribs without making a mess.
No, and I'm a slob with anything. Like, I'll have food all over the place, and I don't really care. Yeah. I'll wipe it off my face and then eat it again later. But ribs on the first night, meeting the parents,
yeah,
that's not tough.
You got a big piece of, a big stain of barbecue sauce on your cheek. How you doing? You look like an idiot. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Bryce Harper's affiliate. If you bought a jersey, I want to hear from you. When's the last time you bought a Phillies jersey or Scherzy for that matter? They're flying off the shelves. Record numbers. 610-632-0975. Jason Martinez here. I got to tell you about the guys in Natural Lawn. We're getting to that time of year. Kids will be running around in the yard, and when they do, I want to make sure that what I put on my lawn is safe. And that usually comes at the expense of keeping it really green and healthy. Well, not anymore. Natural Lawn of America, they use safer, organic-based lawn care products that actually reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. So I'll get a greener lawn, and I don't have to be worried about the kids or pets running around in it. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn's been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. And for as many years as I can remember, Mike Miss has always been telling me, you got to use Natural Lawn. Whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn you've always wanted. And for a limited time, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full service program. That's $100 off. So call Natural Lawn today for a greener lawn with fewer weeds and tell them Jason sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE. It's Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Are you kidding me?
I goofed.
Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason Matusa with Anthony off. 610-632-0975. The term bandwagon. I've gotten a lot of great tweets from people. Tim Devlin tweets in, and he says, you need to define casual and fair weather. Bandwagon does not do a fair job to the Philly fan base. Casuals need to at least be in tune with the team and the current roster, especially when claiming to be a 4-for-4 guy. Now, casual fan, you peek in, you're always a fan of the team. You might even wear a jersey or a jersey or whatever at a particular time, but you're not rearranging your life. A fair weather fan is the one that's, hey, wake me up. They go into hibernation mode during the process. They go into hibernation mode during 2013 or 14 with the Phillies until now. But right now, everybody's on board. Now, you are you a casual fan, Andrew?
What, for baseball? No, I'm a baseball honk. Come on, you know that.
All the time.
Yes, I was going. I probably went to, off the top of my head, I'd say close to 40 home games last year.
Okay, before that, say 3 years ago, when there was no signs of life.
Oh, and I didn't have a credential. I still paid money to get down there, but I'm a baseball. Again, I was an idiot. I spent money to watch Aaron Harangue pitch. You know what I mean? That's just me, and maybe it's just because of my love of baseball. But I also did it for the Sixers. But I was a drunk college kid that would pay $5, $3 for the subway, get down there, $3 back for the subway. I spent $15.
Yeah. That was an opportunity because you could see pro sports for such a cheap price at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the benefit.
I think it was more so, oh my God, look, we got something to do for $10.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got a night, you can go down there. And it wasn't about just watching, Isaiah Cannon. It was more about going down there to see who was playing for the opponent.
Yeah, I wasn't standing up and cheering for Tony Roten.
Yeah.
I just had something to do.
But you look at it and like, okay, so each team, like I'm the same way you are with baseball. I'm obviously with hockey. And I'm a full... never let your foot off the gas fan of the Eagles. Whenever they play, you're all in. I mean, I'm taking away what we do for a living. If I didn't do this and I was, a sales guy selling cardboard, I would be the same way with the Eagles all the time. Same way with hockey all the time. Because it's an innate love that we have for certain sports and we're connected to different sports in different ways. And if the Sixers... I'm fair weather. If I wasn't doing this for a living, I'd be a fair weather fan when it came to the Sixers and through the process. I think we all, even people that work here, we were fair weather fans.
Yeah,
through the process, because we didn't talk about the Sixers in those years, those 10 win and whatever those seasons at all on the air.
We talked about the guys that they were going to draft.
We talked about them two times a year. We talked about NBA draft lottery night when they determined the draft order, and we talked about them surrounding the week leading up to and surrounding the NBA draft. We didn't talk about them during the season at all. We really didn't. They didn't give us a reason to. What were we going to talk about? Tony Roten? Isaiah Cannon?
Hey, people tried telling me KJ McDaniels was going to be a star.
Yeah.
Where are they at now?
MCW? Even though they got off to that, 3-0 start that year?
Yeah, they beat the Heat, maybe the Clippers. I know
they beat three good teams.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't talk about them. And everybody became casual fans through the process. Not everybody. The majority did. Because there are the people that got so knee-deep in the process and, this guy, Eurostash turned into this guy and Covington was undrafted and all. I get it. There's people that... get knee deep into it and the analytics of it and everything. I get it. And there's people like that with baseball too. And there's people like that with hockey. And there's people like that in football. But the term casual fan, I think, is the one that we're looking for. There's casual fans and the bandwagon fan is the assumption that you leave this team and you go root for the team that's winning. Like you don't root for the Eagles. You didn't root for the Eagles this year because they weren't very good. and you became a Rams fan or a Saints fan. Jump around from bandwagon and bandwagon. So I get it. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. There's the casual fan and fair weather fans. Which one do you fall into regarding the Phillies? I got a lot of people tweeting, too, about the jerseys. This guy goes, poor money management and lack of willpower made me buy it. The jersey for Bryce Harper. He goes, the last one I bought was a Carlos Ruiz jersey. Jasper goes, last baseball jersey I owned was a Dykstra. He goes, grown men shouldn't wear another man's jersey, but I did buy my son a Harper jersey. The guy goes, last jersey I bought, Michael, 2008 World Series jersey of Chase Utley. But these Harper jerseys, they're flying off the count, off the shelves. You can't, they can't keep them on the shelves. They ran out of number, the letter R.
Yeah, isn't that hilarious?
To put the R in Harper, they ran out of the letter R. There were so many jerseys flying out. 610-632-0975. Dustin in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. What's up, Dustin?
Yo, Jay. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Nothing. You know, I feel how everybody else feels, dude. I think it's just a good time to be a Philadelphia sports fan in general. I think, like, all four teams, it's just a happy time to be in Philadelphia. And I think Harper saw that. In the beginning, I thought there was no way that we would let him go. I mean, towards the end, I honestly was fading away. I didn't think we were going to get him. I'm still in shock that we got him. Because I think with him on the team, I really think that they can get as far as to the World Series. Because the offense is just so strong and so powerful. There's so many bats in that lineup that I really don't see another team in the MLB able to keep up with the runs that we bat in the game. And I think it could go down as one of the greatest free agent signings of all times. Honestly, I really do believe that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm trying to put it in perspective, Dustin, of where it is on the biggest acquisitions, either via trade or free agency in Philadelphia sports since like 1980. And I got it. It's got to be in the top three because it's so enormous. The guy's in his prime and he signed a 13-year contract here. So, I mean, it might even be the number one.
It's crazy because, like you said, he's not only is he in his prime, Jay, but, dude, he is a top three face of baseball right now. He might be a top two. I think it's him and Trout.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a bigger face than Trout for baseball because Trout plays out in L.A. with the Angels.
That's true, and Bryce has always been, yeah, I mean, he's always been on the East Coast around all such big markets.
Yeah,
Jay, real another reason I called up, I'm the guy that me and you always went back and forth with the Eagles highlights. I like the music, and I like the I'm really interested in because last year I think he played like five or six intro songs. But since you're with the Cuz tomorrow, you got to get the Cuz to pick a song because Wentz has a song. JoJo has a song
for Bryce Harper.
We got to get a song for Bryce.
All right, we got it. Anthony will be back on Thursday.
We got to open arms. We got to show him the brotherly love that we all.
You're right. He does need a song, and I can't. I can't. Yeah, thanks, Dustin. I can't come up with the song without Anthony because he's the one that loves to come up with songs for guys. He'll be back Thursday, so I'll save that for when Anthony gets here. But we do need a song when referring to Harper. I mean, Wentz has the Revenant. Dario had the, I forget what the guy is who wrote it. The Dario song was, yeah. Richard Marauder, the guy who did the soundtrack to Scarface. Marauder, I think is how you say it.
Sure.
But, yeah, you need a song. I don't know what music he's into. I don't know what his walk-up song was. I'll see if we can find it.
I see it was some sort of, like, pop.
Really?
Song. Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know anything about him. Like, we get preconceived notions about guys. Like, Jimmy Butler's a huge country fan.
Right.
You know?
I think part of why a lot of people thought Bryce Harper was a D-bag is because when he's on the field, he does the couple of buttons unbuttoned so his chest is showing.
Yeah.
He's got the hair.
He's brash.
When he hits a home run, somebody takes his helmet off for him and he flips his hair back. He puts his hat on backwards as he runs out to the field.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing? He's having fun.
Yeah, he's adding a little personality to the game.
And you know what?
They could use it.
He's marketing himself.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what?
That's why I wanted him over Machado.
And that's why he got $330 million.
Yep, because he pays dividends at the box office. He's a box office guy. Like Justin Kane tweets in. He goes, I took it to the next level. Let's go Phillies. And he has a picture of a Phillies P and the number 3 that he just got tattooed on his wrist. Wow. It's right above his hand here in the inside of his wrist. That's cool. I mean, that's taking it to the next level. Sean goes, diehard Phillies fan, purchased a Harper jersey not only for myself, but also for my 3 nephews. Want them to remember this iconic moment in Philly sports history. It is a huge moment in Philly sports. There's a few of those, like, off-season moments that you remember. You remember when Cliff Lee signed. It was like, whoa. He spurned the Yankees and he signed with the Phillies. He chose us over the Yankees. There's been some big ones. Ruben Frank wrote an article on NBC Sports Philly of the 10 athletes who made the biggest splash when they signed in Philly. Let me give you a couple of them. I'll give you the first half. Nnamdi Asamoah, 2009.
I remember my buddy calling me and telling me that it happened, and I thought he was playing a prank.
Yeah.
And I put on ESPN and it happened. And I freaked out. I was so happy.
Well, that was Dream Team.
And look what happened.
Yeah. Vince Young signed. Remember that?
Vince Young wasn't even the starting quarterback, and he's the one that deemed it the Dream Team.
Yeah. Well, Joe Banner did, too. So Nnamdi signs in 09. Big splash. Elton Brand, when he signed here as a player at 29 years old, was a huge deal when he signed with the Sixers. He signed a 5-year, $80 million contract at 29 years old. Prime of his career. Along with Kevin Garnett, Shaquille O'Neal, and Tim Duncan, he was only one of only 4 players to average 20 and 10 per game over the previous 9 seasons. And they obviously got him away from the Clippers, and he played 4 years with the Sixers, averaging 12.7 points and 7.2 rebounds.
Right, and say what you want about Elton Brand during his time here. When they signed him, the Sixers organization basically told you, hey, we're here to try to win.
Yeah.
Even though Elton Brand wasn't a superstar, they were saying, look, we're going to spend some big money on a guy because we want to try to win.
And he was in his prime. The team that always tried to make the big splash with signings, sometimes there are varying degrees, but the Flyers signing Danny Briere after they were the worst team in 2006-2007. They won 22 games that season. That offseason, they signed Danny Briere. The next year, it was a $52 million deal, 8-year deal for Briere. The next year, they went to a conference final. They turned that thing around. Briere was a huge signing and paid huge playoff dividends, although they never won a cup. He has Peter Forsberg on this list. He was kind of gassed at that point in his career.
I was still fired up when they got him.
He averaged over a point per game in his 100 games with the Flyers.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. He's got, obviously, Harper on the list. Cliff Lee, who I mentioned, is on Rube's list. Pete Rose, he was about to turn 38 when they signed him.
Is this just signing or is this also trades?
It's signs and trades. Biggest splat. No, this is signings.
Okay.
Yeah. And he puts Big John Runyon. That was a huge one. He was the cornerstone tackle. Andy Reid went out and pried him away from Tennessee.
Yeah, I think people forget that he wasn't drafted by the Eagles.
No, yeah, he was a Tennessee Titan. He played 4 years with the Titans, and he had that reputation of being dirty and, you know, that kind of guy. He signed a 6-year, $30 million deal, and from 2000 to 2008, teamed up with Trey Thomas, our very own, to provide the Eagles with the NFL's best tandem of bookend tackles. And Andy valued what was up front.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.